Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Here's a Stoop story from Christine Sajecki about giving her all for her art.
So it was October of 2002. I was a 23-year-old recent art school graduate living in Savannah, Georgia. And I was underemployed, so I was in the studio a lot listening to the radio. And the news at the time was a lot, the Bush administration, speaking of mistakes, was building the case for invading Iraq based on the presence of weapons of mass destruction. And everyone knew, if you can remember that time, like everyone knew in advance that there were no weapons of mass destruction and that it was a giant money grab. And but the arguments at the time were not effective. They weren't working. And I felt like everyone was missing the big picture, which was that we were all going to die if we pursued wealth and oil over life and the environment, then if we didn't die, we wouldn't have a world we wanted to live in. So my idea was to make an art installation that kind of laid bare our dystopian future. And that's a really light story. So there was this thing called the Sculpture Biennial that was happening in 10 days in Savannah, and it's kind of a poetic title because it happened twice ever in the same year. But so a bunch of artists had taken over a warehouse, and there were all these attached garage bays around the outside, so I convinced the curator to give me the last available garage bay to do an art installation. Did I say the opening was in 10 days? I had 10 days to save the world, stop the war. So I teamed up with my friend Raquel, Maria Raquel Cochez. You should look her up. She's still like a force of art and creativity. So Raquel's on board, and we go over to the space and plan our idea. Here it is. We're gonna clean out the space because it's still very much a garage bay with like old broken lawnmowers and everything. So clean it out, and we're going to paint the walls white to make it like a quiet, contemplative space, and paint the floor astroturf green, and then tile the entire thing with pennies. So that it took about $97, which is all of our savings. And then laying across this penny floor was going to be just one enormous, like 20-foot-long papier-mâché sculpture that was supposed to be evocative of like both a pipeline and a serpent, and it would kind of like curl around elegantly, kind of like beckoning to you. So it was supposed to be like this kind of beckoning space that it would be appealing, but would be like kind of menacing and revolting ultimately, and then you would want to stop the war. So we get right to work. We're either at the space, cleaning it out, painting the walls, gluing the pennies down, or we're at Raquel's house where we built the sculpture in three parts. Like, we built an armature, like three tubes, 7 feet long or so each, and we stuffed it full of cotton batting and just bulky garbage to give it some structure, and then we're paper macheing it, and so we start out in the beginning, and we have this like righteousness, and we're young, and we're just saving the world with our hands and with art, and we just feel so good. But like around the clock, we're working like this, and by the end of about a week, we're just like stinky and tired, and there's like no end in sight to the work we still have left to do, and there's 3 days left to the opening. So we needed something that would keep us going, like motivation. We needed to catch a glimpse of what the sculpture was going to look like when it was painted. So I mixed up a black that was like the perfect kind of petroleum black, like luminous and deep and dark and warm, and we apply it all over the sculpture, and it was really just such a pleasure to do. If there's any painters in the house, like ink soaking into dry, thick newspapers, really, like it just gathered in all the wrinkles and organic texture, and we started to feel good again, feel like we could do it, until we stepped back and looked at what we had made. And like, there's no other way for your eyes to see like a long, lumpy, like essentially dark brown tube as as anything but a poop. Like, it's like striking verisimilitude, like such realism. 20-foot-long beckoning poop. But we'd been working so hard and doing our best and like pushing our limits, and we just couldn't let the dream die like that. We were like, no, we're not seeing this. We didn't make a poop. We're going to take it to the space, because we were just looking at it in her like garbage apartment. It was covered in paper mache everywhere. We're like, we need to see it in its like palace of contemplation where it belongs. And a few minutes later, like, we have it on the roof of Raquel's car, which is this really like a stupid faux luxury like pearl white car, and it doesn't have a roof rack, so we each have one arm out the window clutching the turd. And so we roll out into the street. We didn't even know what day it was because we'd been working so hard. It was Halloween. So her block is full of like sugar high, slow moving zombie teenage slut football player vampires, and we're like, they're not gonna notice us, we're fine. So we're rolling on through, and the first guy that notices us says, oh my god, that's awesome, that car's dressed like a giant turd. And then like everyone turns around, everyone's clapping and pointing and like, turd mobile toilet car. Like, you know, they love it, but it's not making us feel better. So, we turn off that road as soon as we can, and we're cruising along. I'm kind of spacing out, and my eyes catch on the side of the road this little black and white kitten, and it's looking right at me, and its body's tense, and so I know what's going to happen, and I scream. And I brace myself against the car, and I'm like, Raquel, and close my eyes. And she sees it too, so she grabs the wheel with both hands and slams on the brakes. And the car screeches to a stop, and the weight settles back, and the cat is fine, you guys. But, but we hear a sliding, scraping noise coming from the roof. And we look up, and it's just too late. Like, we can see our hands are not holding the sculpture. And it's like an eclipse. Like, there's a street light here, and there's just this black shape just, like, eating all the light in the world. It's happening in slow motion. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen a tree get chopped down. There's this, like, heartbreaking moment where it seems to, like, jump off the stump, like heroically crash to its death. And that's what the sculpture did, is like it got out to a certain point and then seemed to like gain momentum and speed and just like slammed onto the hood of the car and crashed open. And there's like cotton batting and garbage and poop-colored newspaper everywhere, and it like hits the ground again and crashes more. And like, what are we gonna do? We just watch it happen, and then look. It's just, I mean, it is our dystopian vision come true. It's like a cloud and a poop got in an epic garbage fight and killed each other in the street. And so like, we didn't fix it. We didn't even go to the opening of the biennial. Like, we just like, we laughed until we cried, and then we laughed again as we're like shoving all this sculpture material into the trunk of her car. And 5 months later, we invaded Iraq. So So launching a giant turd sculpture at the sky in the dark wasn't the biggest mistake that happened that year. And in fact, I don't even think it was a mistake anymore. Like, it really did perfectly capture that political moment, and maybe this political moment as well. So we went home and went to bed.
That was Christine Sajecki's Stoop Story about art as activism, or at least aiming for that. You can hear her story and many others at stoopstorytelling.com, as well as the Stoop Podcast. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for joining us on the record. Don't let the frigid weather get in the way of a warm-hearted weekend.
Listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.